At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Welcome to the Hemp Present Resistance, the weekly radio podcast where you can get your PhD in THC because you don't just want to burn it, you want to learn it. Seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition one interview at a time and advocating for the whole plant, the plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly reefer radio rebellion against prohibition as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. I'm your host, Vivian McPeak. I'm the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, in its 27th year, found at hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book, Protestable, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, also found at hempfest.org. My guest today is Seattle attorney and activist Danica Noble, who will be right with me. As someone who's been actively involved in the cannabis policy reform movement for in excess of the last 30 years, I can tell you that the process of dismantling almost a century of prohibition is infinitely as complex as we all imagine. It's like peeling off the layers of an onion, which leaves you crying the entire time. Has anything in modern history been demonized quite the way cannabis has for the last decades? The character assassinations, the disinformation campaign at odds with the science, the damaging, inaccurate racial and cultural associations, all had to be sufficient in extremity to justify the cost and brutality of the entire drug war. We were told that cannabis is highly addictive and that it is the gateway drug that leads to virtually all drug abuse. At one time, smoking pot was even said to cause the spontaneous growth of breasts on men. And then there was the paraquat scare and chromosome damage and on and on. But the most nagging and prevailing misnomer is the stereotype of a pot smoker being a lazy slacker, a deadbeat stumble bum wandering aimlessly in a haze of detachment from any degree of responsibility or self-awareness. When in fact, many people who actually use cannabis look at its effect on their lives as being just the opposite. Most cannabis users maintain responsible and productive lives and careers, and some believe that their use helps them to become more self-aware and perhaps detached from things in life that might not be worth attaching to in the first place. But right now, everything's changing because of the tireless work that local activists have been investing all over America for decades. All of the shoe leather and sweat equity cannabis reform activists have put in for countless decades is paying off. And there is more than one cannabis story now. There's a new alternative narrative, and it's being told across societies everywhere. There are truths being told that are in stark contrast to the lies that the government has dared to tell about cannabis. And people are taking those truths and running with them. People like my guest today. The Normal Women of Washington started in 2011 and has since had initiatives to reach out to seniors, has performed homeless outreach, and has engaged women in politics, advocating for inclusive policies and sensible, evidence-based marijuana regulation. NORML, of course, stands for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Danica Noble is the director of the Normal Women of Washington. She's a founding member of the Cannabis Law Section of the Washington State Bar Association. Danica is a graduate of Georgetown Law School, where she founded the first law school chapter of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. In college, she was voted most likely to legalize marijuana, and she's a fellow bridge builder. Welcome, Danica, to Hemp Present.
Thanks very much for having me, Viv.
I was just voted the most likely to smoke marijuana, which I don't think should be a surprise by anybody that knows me. In a TEDx talk format, you spoke about the experience of watching a video of a mother having her three-week-old baby taken away because her husband had been growing some cannabis. Was that a defining moment for you in terms of wanting to get involved in the struggle to legalize?
It was. It was a defining moment for getting me re-involved. I had done some activism in college and law school, and as a practicing lawyer, I had that on the back burner, I think, and I listened to this video, a recording of Daisy Brom, and having the experience of hearing a SWAT team come in the middle of the night and take her, you know, newborn nursing baby away. And it was over medical marijuana in a state, California, where that was legal. And I was devastated. I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I essentially couldn't look away. I knew I had to do something, and that meant getting involved.
Tell us a little bit more about what Normal Women of Washington do and what you guys are all about.
So Normal Women of Washington is a subchapter of Normal Washington. So we are some women who got together back in 2011, and just, it was what I decided to do to get involved. I just decided to take a simple step, which was just host a meeting, and did some outreach and invited folks to show up, and kind of a remarkable group did show up. And we just started meeting with each other once a month, exchanging our perspectives and our stories. And from there, we took and built on each other's talents and passions, and started really trying to make an impact in our own community.
You know, you just spoke about watching that woman have a SWAT team show up at her house. I just interviewed John Inman in Florida, a medical marijuana patient, and he had the same. He had tanks. They had a tank and armored carriers and SWAT teams and stuff. Do you know, Danica, today are people still losing custody of their children in places where recreational cannabis is legal? Do you know if that still happens?
I think it does still happen, and we follow it at Normal Women, and we try to raise awareness about the issue when we hear about it. So you talked about some heavy artillery coming in to bust someone over marijuana. It's ridiculous. I think some of the really disturbing stories are when activists are seemingly targeted. So I'm thinking about Lindsey Reinhart from Idaho. She was, you know, an activist there, advocating for sensible marijuana policies, and her child was taken by CPS and held at the school. And I would also think of Shauna Banda. She had written a book about how marijuana had saved her life, and then her child was taken away, and it just took years to get back. So these stories happen. I think probably the most devastating is the story of a baby who was taken away because in Texas, her father admitted to smoking a marijuana joint while his daughter was asleep in bed. I don't know how many times, but he admitted to doing that. They took his child and put her in a privatized child protective services. And that child ended up dead. That's Alex Hill. That was 2013. But a very similar story happened in Colorado post-legalization. Angel Lane, 11-month-old baby taken from her parents and killed in foster care. So it does happen. It's a real issue.
And these things are happening in places where cannabis is supposedly legal. You launched the Normal Women of Washington in November of last year, and Normal Women of Olympia will have launched, I believe, right around the time this show will be airing. Tell us more about those operations.
So yes, Normal Women of Spokane, our first kind of non-Seattle-based chapter, started last November. And the impetus for that was one of our amazing members, Pam Dyer, otherwise known as the blogger for Butterfly Sessions, moved to Spokane, and we just wanted to stay in touch, and she wanted to find her community. And so in promoting a Normal Women meeting there, she did what I did. She just hosted a meeting, and this amazing, remarkable group of women showed up, and they were just so happy to find each other that they decided they wanted to keep doing it. And so, yeah, they're in their fifth month. And we have some other wonderful women down in Olympia, many of them who were driving up to the Seattle meeting once a month. And we've decided to embrace technology and try to figure out how we can meet in all kinds of different places. So we think Olympia is going to be an especially wonderful place to have a chapter because you have access to the Capitol and things can move quickly, legislation and hearings, and we'll have a group that we can mobilize very quickly if we have an Olympia chapter that's successful.
Nice. So theoretically, there could be a chapter in every region in the state.
Absolutely.
If people are listening to this, think they might want to get involved, what would they want to do?
Oh, yeah. Contact us on our Facebook page, Normal Women of Washington, or you can contact us through Twitter. We're at NWA Washington, or you can shoot me an email, Danica@normalwomenwa.com. And we will make sure that you have the invite to dial up, and we're going to use Zoom. We're going to try Zoom, and so you'll be able to, you know, interface with video for the meeting.
My guest is Danica Noble. We're talking about Normal Women of Washington. It's come time for the first break, the first pause for the cause, because there's flaws and laws. We'll be right back after word from our sponsors and advertisers.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Cannabis concentrates have been around for thousands of years. In 19th century America, extracts mixed with other herbs were sold as a miracle cure. Now, Apex Supercritical has elevated the science of extraction into the 21st century. Apex Supercritical is the leader in CO2 extraction, which is the cleanest, safest, and purest way to extract plant oils. ROI in as little as 3 weeks. Our cost-effective systems are fully automated with an industry-leading 3-year warranty. And if we don't have your system in stock, we can build one in as little as 4 weeks, bringing CO2 extraction to the masses. Learn more at apeksupercritical.com. 4-week build excludes high production systems.
Introducing Blue Moon CBD, straight from the bluegrass of Kentucky. With our special nano emulsion process, you'll not only get the best CBD available, you'll get more of it. Not all CBD is the same. It's your body. It's your choice. Get relief from inflammation, anxiety, and stress. Go to www.bluemoonhemp.com and use code HEMP420 for a 20% discount on your order. Balance your body. Balance your life. Make it Blue Moon CBD.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong hemperer of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Back on Hemp Present with Danica Noble. Danica, we're spending close to $4 billion annually in the war on cannabis here in America, and we've got as many as 4 million children who currently have at least one parent in a jail or prison. It's a big subject, but in your opinion, what are some of the other costs of pot prohibition?
I think one of the costs of pot prohibition that has always stood out to me is just the drastic and demonstrably racist impact this war on drugs has had. Marijuana is its largest component. Michelle Alexander pointed out that it's essentially the Jim Crow of our time. And I can't wait till we can put that sentence in the past tense and say it was the Jim Crow of that time and that we've moved forward with evidence-based policies. But for now, marijuana law enforcement is still extremely disparate in its effect. So 1 in 3 Black American men born today is going to spend some time in prison. And the chances are it could be drug related. That's one of the leading causes. So I think it's disruptive to communities. I think it is disruptive to society. And I think it's terrible for our families and communities.
We're in a very special time. It feels anyway like we're in a special time in society with the I Can't Breathe, the Me Too, Never Again movements all coalescing. Is the cannabis industry forming, do you think, at a time that might offer more potential to level the playing field in terms of gender and racial equality? Do we have a unique chance to build a more representational industry? And are you hopeful that that could happen?
I am really hopeful that it can happen. I don't think it's going to happen on its own. I think it's going to take some hard work. But there's some evidence that this industry is going to form with a little more inclusion or honest representation, like you said. So I'm really pleased that Shalene Teitel from the Minority Cannabis Business Association was on the panel that helped bring forward the commission in Massachusetts, the regulations that are going to go into effect there. And so I think, for example, this week, you can get a priority on your licensing if you can show that you are from a kind of an economic disadvantaged group. And that's similar to some of the equity building policies that you might see in California, like Oakland. You can't use race as kind of an overt, explicit reason to give someone a license or not, but you can use proxies that can help make sure that the folks that get these valuable licenses as this industry really starts to develop goes to folks who have been disadvantaged, and specifically disadvantaged by the drug war. So I mentioned Oakland. In Oakland, if you spent some time in an Oakland prison, if you were arrested in Oakland for marijuana or drugs, or if you were in a heavily policed community, that gave you some advantage in the licensing. So I love those types of equity, and I appreciate seeing it. I appreciate people putting in the work and making sure that this stays a really important part of the formation stage, which is, I think, where we're at in most states.
You have spoken about cannabis reform supporting fairness, equality, social justice, and equal opportunity. But we also have this huge, these huge established industries looking at cannabis as well, kind of waiting, I think, for the moment to swoop in and kind of consolidate. Are you concerned at all that some of the best hopes and aspirations of the cannabis culture might get kind of consumed in all of that?
I do think the pressures that you find in other markets and where there is big money or where people think there is big money are strong. And so that gets back to that point of the people showing up and doing the work. And that's one thing that I look forward to, honestly, at HempFest every year, to go there, to hear all the people who are doing the work, their ideas, their thoughts. I believe that these amazing activists are going to be able to bring about a more just and equitable future. But I think it's really important to have these conversations all the time. And I am impressed, and maybe I shouldn't be impressed. Maybe I should just expect when publications or conferences include social justice, either booths or speakers or in their programs. And
it is kind of
like
happening.
It's
kind of happening already, which really segues me into the next question, which is, can you tell us a little bit about the corporate responsibility initiative that you've launched?
Yeah, so sometimes normal women gets asked to attend a conference. So when we were invited recently to a B2B kind of a conference, which was really businesses aimed at talking to other businesses, we thought, what's our role here? And one of the things we thought that we might do is try to get a snapshot, not to persuade anybody or take any tactics at this point, but just try to get a snapshot of what these companies, either directly marijuana or ancillary to marijuana, are doing in terms of social justice, social responsibility, corporate responsibility. So we developed kind of a survey, we talked to a lot of folks, and we thought, no matter what the answers are, it's good to even ask. I think social science research suggests that if you can even get people thinking about it, you've already done some of the lowest hanging fruit there. So as we would talk to people, somebody would say, oh gosh, I've never thought about that, or nobody's ever asked me that before. And we thought to ourselves every time, well, then we're moving this ball forward a little bit. We'd like to advance that initiative, find out more, and see where we can keep moving the ball forward.
You had a piece published in Wired talking about Catherine Archuleta, I think it is, the executive director of the Office of Personnel Management, sending a notice to the heads of every federal agency announcing a policy under which any federal employee who uses cannabis or even possesses it for a sick child off duty is, quote, not suited to work for the federal government. The policy remaining in place, even if the employee resides in a state where cannabis use is legal. Do you know, is that still the position of the federal government when it comes to their employees?
Yeah, that executive order has not been rescinded. So that is still the currently in effect. And I think it's kind of a disturbing position to take. My point in the article was, while she was taking time out to kind of fish that out and resend it to all the agencies, her office, the Office of Personnel Management, was under this gigantic data breach where the information of all kinds of federal employees were stolen. And I was just suggesting that it might have been better use of her resources to focus on getting the right people in the job to make sure she could secure all the employees' information rather than worrying about whether someone is treating their sick child with marijuana in a legal state.
Well, yes, this whole administration could spend a little time getting some people in there. Anything else exciting going on with Normal while I still have you? We only got a couple minutes left.
Well, we are Normal Women anyway, are looking to expand. So if you are wondering who your tribe is and you're wondering if Normal Women is something that you can want to get involved with, I'm just here to tell you it's as easy as find a place, host a meeting, meet your people, and I'm happy to help anyone get there.
And that's not just for people who already feel comfortable with the culture and know everything about cannabis, right? That's also for people that just want to learn and get involved, get hooked up.
Absolutely. Anybody with any kind of background, we welcome your perspective, whatever it is. And we look forward to embracing you and giving you information. I think Normal Women, at least, thinks a lot about normalization, challenging those stereotypes that you mentioned earlier about who is a marijuana user, who supports marijuana law reform. And my experience has been it is a bunch of incredible, amazing, professional women.
I agree with that, and you are certainly one of them. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time. This is a great time, and it's an amazing culture, and we're in an amazing region. And sometimes I wake up and I pinch myself. Is this all still really happening? Danica Noble from Normal Women of Washington, and that is Normal, normal-women-wa.com. Thank you so much for being on Hemp Present, and I'll be seeing you around.
It's been a great pleasure, Viv. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Hempy Trails. I'm talking to Danica Noble from Normal Women of Washington. We are going to take our second pause for the cause here. We're from our sponsors, advertisers. Come right back for our last question.
Time to roll out for the people that let us Hemp Present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Oh, Lady Marijuana, lama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crap, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Strainwise Consulting is the most sought-after consulting company for cannabis business applications and management contracts. We consulted on the first recreational license in the world and have had an over 95% success rate on applications submitted. The industry is growing at such an exponential rate that building a powerful and lasting cannabis business is a number one priority. Here's Strainwise's Sean Eubanks.
In our first 5 years, we branded and supported 9 medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries and approximately 160,000 square feet of sophisticated and efficient product cultivation.
Strainwise Consulting has the experience and expertise to guide you through the process.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Fuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Fuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Fuber way.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
Back on now, back to our headstrong Hemp Presents, Vivian McPeak. Danica, nearly 80% of Americans use Facebook, and 400 new users sign up every minute. You have written how Facebook is the new town square, and that in social justice movement, social media is an essential organization and dissemination tool. What kind of obstacles do you think that social justice groups face when using social media?
Loads of folks who talk about marijuana or advocate for marijuana law reform are among people who are censored by the social media giants. And it's a real problem. You can have a whole identity shut down all at once, and those can take a long time to build, and then they're just gone. And one of the real problems is there's no appeal. So maybe a social media company wants to shut down somebody selling, you know, toxic sludge, but when they shut down somebody who is using their First Amendment right, who is trying to be a responsible citizen to stand up when the government goes too far, those systems are automated sometimes, and just with keywords you can have events or updates or even entire profiles shut down, and I think it's a terrible detriment to organizing. On the plus side, I saw an article just today that Facebook, who is facing all kinds of criticism right now, has said they may just allow for some sort of appeal. So I think that would be a modest improvement, because I do think reaching out and organizing is critical.
Well, Danica Noble, I want to give it out again, normalwomenofwa.com. That's normal-women-wa.com. Thank you so much for being on Hemp Present. I could talk to you for hours, but I don't have that much time.
It's been a pleasure, Viv. Thank you.
All right. Hempy Trails. Now I want to get to a weekly feature of Hemp Present on CannabisRadio.com. And that's the quote of the week, and here it is. Our current tax code puts thousands of legal marijuana businesses throughout Colorado at a disadvantage. By treating them differently than other businesses across the state, Coloradans made their voices heard in 2012 when they legalized marijuana, and it's time for the federal government to allow Colorado businesses to compete. That's U.S. Senator Cory Gardner. That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, and all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more Reefer Repartee and Cannabis Confabulation with some special Hempo Sapien on a journey to justice as we silence the violence, increase the peace, and promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find yours and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Till then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, toke it easy. Don't forget to email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. The Hemp Present theme song, Take Back the Plants, performed by Sticker Bush, sung by a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro, because I am out.
Marijuana! THC! Sweet sativa! Dicker queen! Sintria!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.